Mark. Over the next hour, we will cover a whole lot of baseball because the postseason starts today. Get excited, people. We'll talk our futures bets for winning the World Series, the American League, the National League, and then we'll get to our bets for game one of each of these wildcard series. Later in the hour, we'll get to the NFL because obviously that is still going on. It is a teaser Tuesday. I'll give you my favorite teaser legs in the NFL this week, and you tell me who ruins my teaser. It's all coming up next here on The Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. All right, Jenks, so yesterday I saw some people complaining about the game times today for postseason baseball. And as somebody who likes to go to bed early, I am not one of those people. I absolutely love that we're going to have baseball going on all day today. But if you are a fan of the Tigers or the Guardians, do you think that they have a right to be mad that their game starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
I mean, it's not great. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes, and I'd be upset about it. It's easy for us, clearly, because we're off at 9 a.m., and then we'll sit at home and watch some baseball. And of course, I'm like, afternoon baseball, this is great. It's amazing. When do I get afternoon sports, like real afternoon sports, outside of something that is maybe overseas? So this is fantastic. But I do understand that if you're a baseball fan, most people are working during this time. But at the same time, you don't have to do it this way. I think it makes more scheduling sense, but I do get the frustration of fans who believe, hey, let's air this at a time when, A, I could maybe go to the game, or at the very least be able to watch it.
Yeah, I get it. But at the same time, like, nobody complains about March Madness. Like, that's the greatest sporting event because it goes on all day. And, like, that's the postseason as well. And maybe it's a little different. And, like, this, you know, is baseball. But still, it's like somebody has to play in that time slot because we have a lot of games today. And I do appreciate the fact that baseball is not taking that many days off because the last day of the regular season was on Sunday. So I'm glad they did not sit around and let these players get a little rusty before starting things off today. Because like some of these teams, like the Padres, that feels unfair to put them on like the super early game. The Cubs have day games all the time. So like that should be nothing new to them. They play at, I believe it would be 1:08 Eastern. Because I'm on Central Time, so it's 2:08 for me. Then we have the Red Sox and Yankees at 5:08. I'm sure, you know, you talk about, like, producers and being like, okay, well, we're going to put this as the game that we want more people to watch and draw the ratings from. And then later we do have the Dodgers and the Reds squaring off at 8:08 Central Time. So if we're going to be complaining, maybe it's about the fact that the Dodgers and Reds game doesn't start till 9:08 Eastern. Because that is pretty late, Jinx.
Yeah, I'm not going to be watching that. But at the very least, they are continuing with the postseason. Like, the NBA is the worst at this. You know, they'll end the regular season or a playoff series will end, and it's, all right, we'll see you guys in 8 days. It's like, why are we waiting this long to start a playoff series? Because then, it messes up your bets. Like, how do you account for having that much time off? Are you going to be rested? Are you going to be rusty? That's sort of the age-old eternal question when you see a long lag like that. But ultimately, I think it's just better for everyone involved. Like, it keeps you interested. The players, you know, you can be rested enough and still be ready to go because this is just sort of a continuation of 162 games anyway. So I'm glad we're going to get to see it now.
Yeah, and I do think it's, if you waited more days to start the first round, it would be extremely tough for these teams who are waiting in the wings, who have a first round bye or like are not in the wild card round, because they've been waiting. They'd be waiting even longer. And we've seen this be an issue for teams who, you know, sit around and wait, that sometimes the bats get a little rusty. But at the end of the day, I think this format is pretty good from Major League Baseball. All right, so now that the postseason picture is fully drawn, Jakes, it's time to revisit some futures bets and maybe see if we can find some value in the futures market. So to win the World Series, the Phillies are your favorites over at BetMGM, plus 450, the Dodgers 5-1, Mariners plus 550, Yankees and Blue Jays 7-1, Brewers, which we have put a star next to, at 8-1, Cubs 14-1, Padres 15-1, all right, I might as well do the full list. Red Sox 18-1, Tigers 20-1, Guardians 25-1, Reds 35-1. So let's start with the Brewers because I feel like this is the bet that we kind of circled the other day. Just feels like it makes a ton of sense. The team that had the best run differential in all of baseball this season has kind of surprised some people, but like it hasn't been a flash in the pan. This is not a 1 month sample size. They have been fantastic all season long. And it does feel like the bracket does line up for them pretty nicely in the fact that they don't have to play the Phillies or the Dodgers, at least until the NLCS. So, Jenks, are we talking people off the Brewers? It feels like a great play at 8-1.
Yeah, I don't know why everyone is sleeping on the Brew Crew. I just can't figure it out. Maybe it's and I don't want to say star power, but maybe it is star power. Like, they don't have the huge names that the Phillies or the Dodgers or even the Mariners with Cal Raleigh, because he's sort of come to the forefront, right? Or the Yankees and maybe the Jays a little bit. But I think that's probably what it is. When you look at these betting markets, we say this all the time during the regular season, like the Dodgers are overvalued, and they generally are, because people like betting on big name teams. They like betting on teams who have a recent history of winning, and the Brewers don't fit either one of those descriptors. So I think if you're actually looking at the metrics, if you're looking at the numbers, if you're looking at what we saw during the regular season, Milwaukee is a great play, and you can make a pretty strong argument that the Brewers are maybe, certainly at least in the conversation of being the most competitive or well-rounded team in the playoffs.
Yeah. And we did hear from Buster Olney, who covers MLB for ESPN, MLB Insider. We had him on the show about a week ago, and he was saying that this is probably the most wide open it's been in a while when it comes to, you know, baseball having just about any team that could be fully capable of winning a World Series this year, just because we've had so many injuries to bullpens. There are very few bullpens in this picture that are fully healthy and effective. He was telling us that the Padres are really the only team that has a good top-to-bottom mm-hmm. bullpen. So for that reason, from a betting standpoint, it does not feel like maybe you take the favorites here, you go further down the list. Let me throw this one at you, Jinx. From a value standpoint, and this team has been in an absolute nosedive, but we know in the futures market, you want to buy a stock when it is at its lowest and not at the tippy top. So it feels like if you're going to buy low on a team,
don't say it.
Tigers are 20-1. 20-1, though, Jenks, for a team for most of the season was absolutely dominant. The momentum is certainly not in their favor, but they have an ace on their staff in Tarik Skubal, and it hasn't been his fault. Like, he's had great games against the Guardians at the end of the season, and it's just been the offense that's kind of fallen off a cliff. But again, this is price dependent. Would you even entertain the thought of the Tigers at 20-1?
I just can't do it. I can't. Like, they were such a great story until they weren't. And I don't know about you, but I have a hard time trusting teams who don't have any momentum. I mean, these guys are limping into the playoffs, right? I don't think they're going to get past the Guardians, frankly. I think the Guardians kind of have their number, and we've seen that. We saw it during the regular season, saw it at the end of the season. So it's very difficult. It's a hard sell for me to say, all right, these guys were good at one point during the season. They were the best team in baseball. Maybe they just pick it up in the postseason. It's like, okay, maybe the talent is there, but also wouldn't we have seen it by now? So I know what you're saying, and when you have an ace like Tarik Skubal, it's really tempting to maybe put a sprinkle on them, because he'll get you one. He can get you a dub. There's no question about it. The best in the game. But I just don't think I can do it based on what we've seen in the second half of the season.
I don't think so either. Like, I feel like it is a good price, and I think maybe if you hold your nose, you can make a case for it. I don't know, though. It's not a bet that I will be making, because, again, it does feel like the Guardians have their number, because, you mm-hmm. know, part of betting in the postseason is your first-round matchups, or, you know, your second-round matchups. It is matchup-dependent. Like, this is what we do in March Madness, because certain teams just happen to match up better against other teams. And we get the Guardians and the Tigers in the first round. And the Guardians just took the Tigers to school in these moments that mattered the most, when the Tigers were clinging to a lead in the their division, and they couldn't get the job done. So it does feel like that is a tough draw for the Tigers there. Let's go to the bottom corner of the postseason picture. So this one, matchup dependent. I do feel like the Blue Jays are kind of beatable. Like, it feels like one of those teams that has been good all season long, but they're not one of those teams that have been super dominating, especially this last month of the season, where, you know, the AL East was very much a race to the finish, where it was the Yankees, it was the Blue Jays, for a bit there it was the Red Sox. So I think for that corner, maybe you can get some value, you know, in some of those teams, because I feel like that corner is very winnable. But it doesn't feel like you ever get value on the Yankees 7-1 to win the World Series. I don't know if I trust him. I don't know if it's like the eternal negativity of Yankees fans, yeah, where they have their expectations just so high in the clouds that anything short of, like, you know, the wonder years of the Yankees is just disappointing to them. And the fact that Gerrit Cole is not going to be in the postseason for them, that is a massive blow. Like, I understand he's been out the entire year, and they've still been pretty good, but he is an absolute workhorse in the postseason, and he got him to the World Series last year. So I'm not super sold on the Yankees. I'm not sold on the Blue Jays. I don't really love the Red Sox either. Thanks. Can you make a case for any of those teams?
The Red Sox are interesting just from a value perspective because they're 18-1. Like, at some point when you get past, like, the teams that I really like, then it becomes just about if you can get a decent price. Unless you just have a strong case for a team that you really like and you're like, I don't care about the price. This is my team. This is why they're going to win it. I really don't feel that way when I look at any of these teams, Yankees, Blue Jays, Red Sox. So all things being equal, wouldn't you just go with a team that gives you better value at 18-1 in Boston? I do think there's something with Toronto. They were really good at home this season, and they have the bats in that lineup where they can surprise. They have a veteran staff. So when you have a veteran staff like that, guys who have been there, done that in the rotation, I feel like that gives you a bit of an edge in the postseason because those guys aren't going to shy away from the spotlight. But I think, but I also don't want to play the Blue Jays at 7-1. So I think, and when you look at the Red Sox, also, when you're taking on the Yankees, it's a rivalry. You know, anything can happen in those sorts of matchups. So I would say Boston.
I think so as well because of Garrett Crochet. And you've got to remember that the first round of these wild card series are three-game series, which means this game one is super, super important. Because, and think about it, you only have to win two games. So it just feels like when you have a great top end of the rotation guy, that weights more in your favor. Because remember, like, you're not stacking wins against, you know, bad teams. It's not the regular season. You need somebody who can shut down the best bats in baseball. And Gerrit Crochet has been putting up Cy Young numbers all season long. Even if he doesn't win it, like, still amazing this season. So I think he certainly gives them the edge. Max Fried has had good numbers this year as well for the Yankees. But we've seen him kind of stumble in the postseason before. Now, granted, some of these times were against the Dodgers, who have gone on to win World Series that year, back when Max Fried was with the Braves. But still, I think Gerrit Crochet certainly gives the Red Sox a chance. And also, that's why I feel like maybe the Tigers have a chance. It's just, I don't really trust their offense. Like, Tarik Skubal is so good. But keep in mind, the top end of the rotation can completely skew a lot of these series, even when you get into, you know, the later stages of the postseason, when it is a seven-game series. If you have your number one guy starting the first game of that series, a lot of times he'll start game five or game six. So you can use this guy twice.
You can, not early on, because it's three-game set.
Right.
But that's the thing that scares me about the Tigers, right? Because even with Skubal, and we can talk about this when we handicap this game coming up, because they play at one today, and it's going to be an exciting day for baseball, but he has faced the Guardians in his last two outings. He's allowed one run in each of those outings, and they've still lost. Like, there's just something about the Guardians. They're just the Tigers' kryptonite. Even when Skubal is on the mound, which is why when you ask me about Detroit or asking about trusting the Tigers, at some point you would assume, look, they've got Skubal on the mound. They have to break through, right? But I don't know. Maybe early on, if you want to make a first five bet, sure. But late in the game, Cleveland just finds a way, and we've seen that over the latter half of the season.
Yeah, and it feels like we should at least mention the Mariners, because what a season it's been for Cal Raleigh. What a season it's been for the Mariners in general, who are normally little brother to the Astros, but this time it's the Mariners in the postseason with one of the top seeds, and the Astros are the ones sitting at home. And I'll say this. The Mariners' bats, like, usually it's a Mariners team that relies heavily on pitching. This year, over the last month of baseball, they have the best WRC plus in all of the big leagues. So this is a team that's certainly trending in the right direction. They've got all the momentum, and they've got a great storyline. Like, maybe that doesn't matter here, but it would not shock me if the Mariners have a storybook run here, but they're only plus 550. So probably not going to make the card for me. All right, so what is making the card for today's bets? We go through game ones of the wild card series and tell you where your money should be placed. I have a few that I like. It's coming up next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. We're back on a Tuesday. It is September 30th, which means tomorrow is the first day of October. I just realized that. So I'm pretty sure September does not have 31 days. Let's check the calendar. Yeah, correct. October 1st is tomorrow. But before we get to the postseason baseball card today, which we do have some bets for, I wanted to do a gentle hat tip to our producer, Denton, for giving us a heads up about National Coffee Day yesterday. Because, Jenks, I don't know if you took advantage, but I definitely did. We went to Dunkin' Donuts as a family and took advantage of the free coffee deal. And you want to know what those absolute all-stars at the drive-through window did? What? Free coffee? Yeah, on the app. No. It says free coffee for National Coffee Day. It's 4 p.m. We can't be the first people who have pointed this out. Oh, yeah. Can you have your app out and ready to scan? Like, these people at Dunkin' are the absolute worst. Like, I don't know where they find these people, but it's, like, the exact opposite of, like, the people who work at Chick-fil-A. Like, it's the most apathetic, I want to say, like, low-energy high schoolers in Sumner County. I don't know where they find these people, but, like, Dunkin', the customer service is not great, but yet, here I go, going back every single day. So, Jenks, did you get a free coffee yesterday?
I did not. Are they like, I see your application got rejected by Starbucks. Well, that means you are Dunkin' material. Welcome to Dunkin' Donuts. Unfortunately, no. I had to go out to Ashburn and do some work for the Commanders, but I'm glad you got to do it. I was sad because if I had some time, I absolutely would have slid in somewhere and grabbed some coffee. Because as soon as I got out there, the first thing I did was go to one of the little break rooms and make myself some coffee because I needed it. It didn't cost me anything, but it didn't taste the same. Yeah, it is. Like, you can have good coffee and still not the same when you get something free from the actual physical store. So much better.
Yeah, but I'll say this. Maybe it'll make you feel better. Because we went as a family. And so, like, Jake is not a huge fan of Dunkin' Donuts, their coffee. But he got a free coffee, so he got it. He takes one sip, and he's like, Chelsea, this is terrible. Why did we come here? This tastes like creamer-flavored water. He is not a fan of the coffee there, so even though it was free, I'm not sure if he enjoyed it.
Let me ask you this, because I know you cannot stand Dunkin' Donuts. You will not be sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts anytime soon
there
on the show. But that's what I mean. So this is what I don't understand. So I keep hearing, I hate Dunkin' Donuts. I hate Dunkin' Donuts. I hate Dunkin' Donuts. So anyway, I went to Dunkin' Donuts. I'm like, well, then why are you going? Why are you punishing yourself?
Here's the thing. When it comes to refreshers, which are the caffeinated non-coffee beverages, Dunkin', in my opinion, is way better than Starbucks. Starbucks puts, like, bits of strawberries in there. So when you, like, drink it through a straw, you get, like, a chunk of strawberry, and I don't love that. Okay. So, like, Dunkin' does have, like, the slight edge when it comes to refreshers, and I get those a lot. Like, sometimes I don't do coffee, I do refreshers. So when I want a refresher, I go to Dunkin'. When I want a coffee, I go to Starbucks.
Wait a second. They're actually called refreshers? I thought you were using that just as a slang term. Like, when I like a little refresher.
No.
So it's called a refresher. Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah,
to know.
But it has caffeine in it. So I don't know if I'd call that a refresher, but like that's the name they've chosen. And Jenks, here's the funniest part. So for a while it was pineapple mango, and then they got all fancy. They're like, oh no, it's a golden hour refresher. And you're like, do you mean the same pineapple mango one that you've been shelling out for years? I'm like, yeah, it's the same mixture. But it's a golden hour refresher now.
Oh, that sounds great. They just relabel it. You know what I mean? It's like they'll put a new spin on it, new label. We'll add something to it, and it's the same as it's always been. I got to try these refreshers. This is all new to me.
Yeah, I think it's a good option for when you feel like thirsty, but you want the caffeine. All right, so if you want a midday refresher, maybe you'll have some baseball to go along with it, because we do have some wild card action today, and I personally cannot wait. If you're going to be betting on baseball today, you might as well do it over at BetMGM and use this MLB Parlay Boost token. Swing big on your next MLB parlay. Use this Parlay Boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits. So, Jenks, let's start with the first game and the most interesting game in my personal opinion. The Tigers and Guardians squaring off at 1 Eastern in Cleveland. Detroit big favorites in this game, though. Minus 165 behind Tarik Skubal. Total of 6.5 runs. I've also seen this at 6 in some spots. Gavin Williams looks like he's going to get the start for Cleveland. So, Jenks, we just had this matchup not too long ago, and I'm pretty sure both of us played the first five under 3.5. So guess what I will be doing in this game? I will once again be playing a first five under 3.5 runs. How about you?
I am making the same pick. I like the card a lot today, which is weird. I thought I was going to be nervous looking at these games because there's obviously a lot more at stake. But that was the first thing I thought was, are you kidding me? Tigers, Guardians, with a total at 6, which is ridiculous. You can go under 3.5 at -140. And then, you know, I mentioned this in the previous segment where Tariq Skubal, his last two starts have been against the Guardians, and they've had such a hard time hitting him all season long. Now, he lost those previous two games, but he's allowed 2 earned runs in his last 2 appearances. I don't want to trust my money with the Tigers, particularly at $1.65, but I will go first five under 3.5 at -140. And also, I generally don't look at day-night splits, but Tariq Skubal has pitched a lot during the day. This is a day game. Got a 1 o'clock first pitch. During the day, his ERA drops from 2.21 to 1.77. So I am with you on this bet.
Absolutely. Like, the matchups are great for both of these pitchers because, again, we just saw this matchup. And over the course of the season, like, Tariq Skubal, 28 innings, 2 runs total, pitched against Cleveland this year, including a complete game shutout earlier this season. Then you look at Gavin Williams against Detroit, 17 innings and only 2 runs over 3 starts, and even had 21 strikeouts over his last 2 starts. So he is missing a lot of bats in that Tigers rotation. So, Tigers lineup, I should say. So I feel like the first 5 under 3.5 feels like a solid play. Now, I came into this card thinking, okay, unders are going to be the play because game 1 of the first game of the postseason is going to be one of your best options for an under, for a full game under, because think about it, they've had a couple days off, their best reliever is going to come out of the pen, and each game is so crucial. So they are going to be managing this bullpen, and the leash is going to be super short on a lot of these guys. But Jenks, when you get a 6 in the full game, like, that's too low for me. So I think first 5 makes a lot of sense. But is there any other game that kind of fits that mold for you? Because I will say this, the totals, they be low. We have 7s in all of the other games. Did you consider an under in any other game?
The only other game where I sort of like an under, I think, is the Reds-Dodgers game. Like, Hunter Green has been okay. He's been okay. Let me take that back. He's been very good for the Reds this season, particularly in the second half of the season. He's been okay away from home, right? So his ERA jumps by more than 3 runs when he's not pitching in Cincinnati. So I think maybe the sabotage factor out in L.A. is that if you're looking at a total, is that, okay, maybe the Dodgers hit him up. But I just don't see Cincinnati getting the Blake Snell. I mean, he's just been unbelievable since he got healthy and got right. And this is exactly why they signed him during the offseason. When he is pitching at home this year, 5-1 with a 1.17 ERA. So I like the under out west as well.
Yeah, I think Blake Snell gets good matchup here, simply because the Red Sox are a team that, the Reds are a team that strikes out a lot as well. And Blake Snell is a strikeout pitcher, double-digit strikeouts in 2 of his last 3 games. And you know the adrenaline's going to be going. First game of the postseason for Blake Snell. My only concern is that sometimes Blake Snell does not go deep in games. And my concern for Hunter Green is that sometimes he gives up home runs. Like, he has great swing and miss stuff, but when he misses, he usually misses in the middle of the plate. So that can be tricky if you're talking about a Dodgers lineup that certainly has a lot of pop. All right, Padres-Cubs next. We might as well just do all the games. Chicago short favorites here at home at -115. We know Wrigley's going to be rocking a total of 7 runs. Nick Pivetta here going against Matt Boyd, I believe. Jenks, do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, I'm going with the Cubs here. Let's go Cubbies. Let's get a win today at Wrigley. And we're seeing some money coming on Chicago. Right now it's at -115 at BetMGM, but I've seen this at -135 at some places, so make sure you shop around. Go to BetMGM, get the best price. So the money is flowing in the right direction. But ultimately here, as good as Nick Pivetta has been for San Diego, his ERA is 3.55 on the road. Last time he was at Wrigley was earlier this season, gave up 3 runs over 3 innings. And also, I know San Diego can hit for power, but compared to the Cubs, their power numbers dropped off in the latter half of the season compared to Chicago's. Also, look at the Cubs at home this season. 50-39 straight up. San Diego was a loser away from San Diego. 38-43 away from home. So I'll take the cheap price on the Cubs here.
Yeah, I think that's a good matchup for the Cubs. I will say the one thing that goes in San Diego's favor is the fact that their bullpen probably has better arms in it and has more depth, which won't be tested in one game, the first game in the series. But I'll say this, maybe you could make a better case for the Cubs in the first five, because Matt Boyd does have some good games, or at least he has one good game, against San Diego. Six shutout innings back on April the 5th. That is a long time ago. But still, I do think that the Padres might have the edge when it comes to the bullpen, so maybe I would stick with the first five. All right, here's an interesting one. Red Sox-Yankees. The Yankees are favored in this one, minus 130. Boston plus 110. Total of seven runs. Garrett Crochet facing Max Fried. Jenks, I feel like if there is a good case to be made for an underdog, it's here with the Red Sox.
Yes, I think this is the one play where I would grab some plus money, because I like some minus money plays today, which I normally do. But, you know, when you have a Red Sox team that will give you plus money and you've got Garrett Crochet on the mound and you've got a Red Sox team that has had a lot of success against the Yankees, particularly early in the year, where they would just win game after game after game against the Pinstripes, and you heard a lot of Yankees fans like, when are we going to get over that Red Sox hump? And they did a better job at the end of the year when the Yankees finally started getting some dubs here. But this is where I want to add some plus money on the card, and I would go Red Sox.
Absolutely. And the Red Sox have been good behind Garrett Crochet against the Yankees this year. And Garrett Crochet in his career, 3-0 with an ERA of 2.90 and 45 strikeouts and 7 appearances against the Yankees in his career. I believe the Red Sox are 4-0 against the Yankees this year when Garrett Crochet is starting. And plus, if you look at the matchups here, Garrett Crochet has also pitched really well against Aaron Judge, striking him out 11 of the 15 times that they have faced each other. Should be noted that Aaron Judge has hit 2 home runs off Garrett Crochet. So maybe if those are timely, that could be a deciding factor here. But still, this is too good of a matchup and too good of a price on a good Red Sox team behind their race. So I think either you take the Red Sox in the first five. I wonder what that price is. I'm sure you're not getting quite as much plus money, but I feel like the Red Sox are a solid play. Plus 105 in the first five innings. So Jenks, would you take first five or full game?
That's a tough one. I think I would just go full game here. I'm betting a lot on the rivalry here. I get that. But I have trusted Garrett Crochet. You know how it is, where sometimes there's a guy that you've been riding for a lot of the season, and he keeps winning. And you could say the same thing about Max Fried. I get that. But when you get, sometimes for me, a handicap is really simple, which is I'm getting a pitcher this good at a plus money price, and I just have to take it. So I would probably go full game, even though there's maybe an advantage here. I just think the Red Sox bats can hang with the Yankees later on. And, yeah, I'm on Boston. I'll keep it simple.
Yeah, I think you could certainly make a case for both. Even though if you do play first five, if this game is 0-0 after five, you are not, you know, counted as a loss in this one. And I'll say this, Max Fried has turned up the strikeouts in his last two starts of the season. 13 strikeouts against the Orioles and 7 against the White Sox. Although, that is not the caliber of team that he will be facing today. So from a viewing perspective, Jenks, which of these games are you the most excited for?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of drama in the Tigers-Guardians game. Two things. Tigers-Guardians is going to be interesting just because, like, are the Tigers going to suddenly become that team? Can they sort of put the regular season behind them and faltering the second half and say, all right, it's a new deal or a new time for us, right? We have our ace on the mound. Now it's time for us to start playing like we did midseason. We were the best team in baseball. They can do that. Can they do that? Can they get over that Guardians hump, which has really haunted them in the second half of the year? And so I don't know. I mean, haunted them at the very end of the season, where the Tigers would try, couldn't get past the Guardians, would try, couldn't get past the Guardians. So maybe they can do that. I think that's going to be fascinating. Also, you can see an ace on the hill, which is great. And I think there's something special about afternoon baseball, playoff baseball at Wrigley Field. You know, if you love baseball, how can you not love seeing whoever it is playing the Cubs? Even if you don't like Chicago, I think there's something sort of mystical and fun about that. So I'm excited about these two early games.
Oh, absolutely. For me, it's Tigers-Guardians that is the number one most interesting game here, simply because I think if the Tigers win this game, that is a seismic shift in momentum for the Tigers, don't you think? For a team that has not had it together over the last month of the season, the Guardians have had their number, but if they win, a very important game one against their nemesis, their in-division rival, that would be huge for the Tigers. And for a team that's 20-1 to win the World Series right now, I feel like maybe that could shift the mindset in Detroit, and maybe, just maybe, that would right things in Detroit, and maybe they could make a run. Because there is a good team in there somewhere. All right, on to the NFL next segment. It's time to play Teaser Tuesday, and I'll give you my favorite teaser legs in the NFL. It's next on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM. All right, it's off and running on a Tuesday, which means it's time to play Who Ruins My Teaser? On a Teaser Tuesday. The alliteration. We had to have it on Tuesdays. All right, Jenks. So the reason that I say who ruins my teaser, because it feels like when I do lose these teasers, it is one team that ruins it for me. And so last week, that was certainly the case. The teaser had some really good legs. Here was the teaser from last week. So we had the Steelers plus 8.5 in Ireland. They win that game against the Vikings outright. So that was an easy win. Bucks plus 9 against the Eagles. They only lost by 6, so that one hit. Jets last night plus 8.5 against the Dolphins. That one hit as well. They only lost by 6. But guess who ruined my teaser last week? The Packers. The Packers, all they needed to do was win that game by a mere 1 point against the lowly Cowboys. And what do? They tie. Sometimes it's the teams that you don't even suspect, because I feel like when we had that segment last week, like, nobody on the show was like, the Packers, I don't think they'll win against the Cowboys. So I will say this, over the past couple weeks in the NFL, there's been a lot of chaos. So like, some of these favorites that feel comfortable and secure, they have not been the case. So this week I'm doing a lot of underdogs, because I'm not going to lie, I did not see that Packers one ruining it last week.
Well, I didn't see that either. I think the books made off like bandits last week. You just never know in the NFL, right? I mean, 40-40. I thought that would be an easy dub with the revenge angle and the fact that the Cowboys can't stop anyone. But I think what surprised me is that the Packers didn't stop the Cowboys. Like, hasn't that been the one thing that has surprised us this season? Like, how locked down that Green Bay defense has been? I mean, Dak has been really good this season, but I would have never thought that he would go off with CeeDee Lamb out of the lineup and then carve up the Packers. So I definitely did not see that coming.
And that's why betting on the NFL is tough. But I will say, like, the point of betting on these teasers is because usually these lines are pretty sharp. And especially when you can go through a bunch of key numbers, like, it just makes a lot of sense. So I do think if you play them at plus money every single week, like, for example, that one was plus 240. So it would have been a nice little payday if that one did come through. So if you're playing them each week at big plus money, I do think, you know, if you hit some of them, obviously, you will be in the green because of the return on your investment. So let's get to it this week. It's time to play once again, Who Ruins My Teaser?
Chelsea is such a teaser.
All right, Jenks. Well, this week I looked at the card and I feel like there were not quite as many teaser options just because of the numbers offered, because I'm looking for ones where you go through a bunch of key numbers. Like, you know, underdogs of like 1.5 to 2 or favorites of 7.5 to 8.5. Those are generally the ones that I'm looking for. But let's start off with the team that made waves last week, with Jackson Dart winning his debut as a rookie in the NFL. So this week, the Giants are on the road at the Saints, and I'm not normally a huge fan of playing teams coming off like a big win and a team that's like riding high when it comes to the hype. But if you can get the Giants plus 7.5 on the road at the Saints, like, do we think the Saints are blowing out anybody? Like, I feel like the answer is no. Next up, we're going to go to a favorite. We're going to go with the Colts, laying a mere half point against another bad team. The Raiders are in town this week, and maybe this is like the wild game that ruins everybody's survivor pool, because we have been seeing a lot of those. Maybe the Colts are too good to be true, but it just feels like this is a game that the Colts are going to win at home, especially because it feels like on both sides of the ball, or excuse me, on both prongs of that offensive attack, Daniel Jones has been good, and Jonathan Taylor backs in the NFL. The Raiders defensively have been really bad, so I don't see them stopping that offensive attack. Now, this one I'm a little nervous about, so that's why I mentioned it last. So the Jags are at home this week against the Chiefs, and they're getting 3.5 points. So in a teaser, they would get 9.5 points. Maybe this is the sabotage factor here, because the Chiefs did look pretty good against the Ravens. But the Jags at home this week, coming in with some juice after Liam Cohen was running his mouth to Robert Saleh. I kind of like the 9.5 there, because I do think at the very heart of their identity, the Chiefs are not a team that's going to blow out a ton of teams. Like, I know it's the case against the Ravens, but I don't see it happening against the Jags. Jags are kind of better this year than I think maybe I was expecting. Like, I know they've had some down moments, but 9.5 is still a lot of points. So you tell me, do I keep this teaser as is? Jags plus 9.5, Giants plus 7.5, Colts minus 0.5, or do we replace one of those teams with the Patriots getting 14.5 against the Bills?
Oh, I would definitely grab the Patriots plus 14.5. Like, Drake May looks like he is really coming on, and this is a well-coached team, and they still have a ways to go, but you can see the flashes where I understand now why people were a little bit more bullish on the Patriots than I was at the beginning of the year. I worry about the Jags just because I think there's a possibility the Chiefs found something last week against the Ravens, and it certainly helps that Xavier Worthy is back, right? Like, we know Patrick Mahomes, who gave us a vintage performance last week, and now he's got Xavier Worthy. Now they've had a little extra time to come together. Offenses always lag behind defenses a little bit. And also, how good are the Jags? Like, do we know? So they ripped the Panthers. They lost to a putrid Bengals squad, even though, okay, that Bengals team had Joe Burrow, so that's different. They beat the Texans, beat a Niners squad that is really banged up. Brock Purdy played terribly. I want to believe in the Jags because I'm a Trevor Lawrence backer. I want him to sort of take that next step. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. And I think Leon Cohen has been good for him and good for that team, but I would worry about the Chiefs.
Okay, so sold. Because I was already on the fence about this. So should we replace the Jags with the Pats here? Because here's the thing. Like, the Bills are really good, and they have a high-flying offense. Mm-hmm. But we've seen them. Like, they should be blowing out some of these teams, and they're just not. You know, with the Saints and the Dolphins, one would think that these would be really lopsided games. But remember that Dolphins game? Was it tied in the fourth quarter? Like, it was a close game in the fourth quarter. And even against the Saints, they didn't cover the number, I believe. I think that number was 12.5, and I do think they won by 12. But that's the thing. In this teaser, the Patriots are getting 14.5. I do think the Patriots can at least keep it within two touchdowns. So, sold. The Jags are out. The Pats are in.
I like that. And also, it's a divisional game. You know, when you have a divisional game, the teams know each other really well, and those games tend to be tighter. I'll also say, and this may sound crazy, but be careful with the Giants. Like, the Giants are a bad football team, and I know they're getting 7.5. But also, if you look at that game against the Chargers, the only reason why they stayed in that game was because of their defense. Like, Sexy Dexy had that one pick where he took it back. He kept putting, and the Giants' defense kept putting the Giants in short fields where they didn't have to move the ball very long on the Chargers. And now, of course, they're without Malik Nabers. Jackson Dart is still a rookie, so the Saints are going to have a little tape on him. So I like the number. Plus 7.5 seems like a ton of points against the Saints because the Saints are bad. But the Saints have kind of been hanging around. And without Nabers, if things fall the wrong way for the Giants, I can see that being an issue as well. I would certainly not take the Saints over the Giants, but I'm just saying something to look out for.
Yeah, I think that worries me. And just from a narrative standpoint, that it does feel like you're buying a stock at its highest point. Because right now, the Giants are probably the highest, you know, that people are going to think of them this year. Mm-hmm. Like, I do think Jackson Tart certainly has some potential, but it's not like he threw for 300 yards. Like, that was a game where he was more doing most of the damage with his feet. But at the end of the day, it's still the Saints. And it just feels like it's not a team that I think is going to blow out anybody. And they have had trouble with their offense getting going, scoring over 20 points in only one game so far this season. Should we talk about the Colts for a second? Because, again, it always feels like the team that ruins my teaser is the team that, like, you don't even expect. So the Colts, so this line's moved to 7. Like, I did my teaser last night. Colts now 7-point favorites at home against the Raiders. What am I not seeing with the Colts here? Like, they had that, you know, pretty embarrassing loss to the Rams last week. But I still feel like it is a good team. And I do feel like the Raiders are absolutely trending in the wrong direction. I know a lot of people had high hopes for Pete Carroll and company. Maybe, like, Ashton Gentry's found something. Have you seen that thing about his stance? Where, like,
I was going to ask.
He has developed back into the Michael Myers stance just in time for Halloween. I don't know how much that matters, but I am excited to see him, like, performing a little bit better. Yeah. But do you think the Raiders have a chance in this game?
Maybe. I'm curious about Jeunty. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden he goes back to acting like Michael Myers, standing straight up, and he has his best game as a pro. And you can say, well, it's not that big a deal, and maybe it's not. But mentally, when you're talking about a guy who's had this same stance since high school, right, going all the way back, and then finally Chip Kelly kept just, you know, harping on him, oh, you have to have your knees bent, you have to have your knees bent. And he's like, you know what, I'm just going to stand up. I'm just going to do it. And he did it. All of a sudden, he breaks loose. He looks great. And Pete Carroll said after the game, I loved it. So he's not going back. Now he's going to go back to playing running back the way he's always played running back, which is what they should have done from the start. So I think maybe we see him play better than we've seen. I mean, he has to. First few weeks of the season hasn't been great at all. But I like the Colts. Like, the Colts should have won last week against the Rams. They really should have. Adonai Mitchell. And I love Adonai Mitchell. He has one of my favorite moments in a Texas uniform because 2 years ago when he transferred over from Georgia, so he comes from Georgia to Texas, and then when Texas goes to Bama and beats Bama in Tuscaloosa, he catches his touchdown pass, and he drops the ball, and there's this close-up of him looking at the fans, and he goes, remember me? And just smiles. It's so funny. It's like, oh my God, such a great moment. That said, it was an awful couple of moments last week against the Colts or against the Rams. I think the Colts are a well-coached team. The Raiders are so bad up front. Like, the Colts defense, I think, can have a field day with the Raiders because they don't get any push on the offensive line. So I would be with you on the Colts. That's a super short number, less than a point. Yeah, let's go, Indy.
Yeah, especially at home. There were some teams that I did leave out. Like, I did think the Bucs were maybe a good look. They're getting 3 points against the Seahawks. But I'm not a huge fan of taking teams the week after playing the Eagles because it's such a physical game. And I do think they keep it within 9. But also, I feel like people are maybe too low on Sam Darnold and company. So the Bucs do not make the card for me. So here is the teaser as it sits now. We're going to go Pats plus 14.5. We're going to go Giants plus 7.5. We're going to go Colts minus 1/2. And what was the other one? Oh, we kicked the Jags out. Sorry, Jags. You didn't make the cut this week. So that's the teaser for the week. Let's hope that nobody ruins my teaser. All right, coming up next, our biggest betting takeaways and narrative takeaways from last night's Monday Night Football action. It's next on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM.